The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
And now, it's time for Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. It must be Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m. or could be Wednesday night from 8 to 9. We're on twice a week to help you with your career, teach you how to go on a job interview, how to prepare for interviews. We also talk about workplace subjects, everything from age harassment to, which is on my mind today because of our topic, to anything concerning the workplace. We've had, last week, Kenny, we had the Suffolk County Police Commissioner on the show, and he was talking about recruiting for, was it a dispatcher? Sort of like a dispatcher.
Yeah, I believe it was public dispatcher.
I forgot the title, but it was a really great job. You had to take a test by a certain day, which I think is this coming weekend. It was a great thing. It was great to have Stuart Cameron on the show. I thought he was great.
And it was great
to have a police commissioner on the show. And today we're going to be talking about aging, Kenny. Now, this is not a subject for that a 22-year-old guy would be too focused on. But for the rest of us, aging is a big problem. It's with you the whole time. You know, from the time you get into your 30s, you start thinking about it, even your 20s. But certainly your 40s and definitely your 50s and 60s. And then what else are you thinking about? You know, how am I going to put up with the pain? How am I going to, you know, find a doctor that can cure me? You know, there's all kinds of things you start dealing with. But it's not even as simple as that. It's a complicated process. Aging itself is very complicated. So we have gone to really the region's expert on aging, a gentleman by the name of Ron Rowell. Please tell the listeners all about Ronnie.
He's got quite the resume. Ron is a veteran journalist and editorial consultant who specializes in what he calls successful aging, providing information that helps people lead an active, productive, and confident life as they age. Ron spent 20 years as a writer and editor at Newsday, Long Island's daily newspaper, covering business, workplace issues, real estate, and politics, as well as helping to found Act 2, the paper's weekly section for readers aged 50 plus. He recently launched a national internet radio show, 45 Forward, on the Voice America Radio Network. Each week, Ron explores a wide range of topics with guest experts integrating key components of work and careers, health, finance, family and friends, housing, and individual passions to prepare people for their journey through the second half of life. Ron has written extensively on aging topics, spoken at numerous conferences, and on radio and TV shows. He's an active in several organizations that support seniors, including AARP, the Alzheimer's Association, the National Aging in Place Council, and the Senior Umbrella Network. Ron has developed a special expertise in family caregiving. His forthcoming book, The Caregiving Navigator, How to Plan, What to Do, and Where to Turn When Caring for Your Aging Loved Ones and Yourself, is scheduled for publication later this year, and he's a graduate of Yale University and Annenberg School for Communication at the University of Pennsylvania.
And I was very pleased to be on Ronnie's show, 45 Forward. I think I was the second guest that he had, by now he's an expert in radio, we'll hear all about that program as well. And Ronnie, welcome to Radio Jobline.
Thanks very much, Scott. Happy to be here.
It's great to have you. And now that you're a host, it's a little bit different. You know, you've got much more experience on the radio now, and I think the listeners are going to really get a great show here today, Ronnie. I'm going to make you do something that you made me do.
Okay.
Tell the story of how we met.
Okay. It is a great story, and it goes back, and it goes back to my initial orientation journalism, you know, which was covering the workplace, jobs, you know, management issues, aging the workplace, harassment, all sorts of things. So, this was the 80s, from the mid to late 80s I started. I basically pioneered the beat. There was no such thing as a workplace beat until I started it. Along comes October 19th, 1987. Black Monday. For those of you who can recall that, it was the first real shock We the Dow goes up and down these days like a yo-yo, but in those days, this was highly unusual, where the stock market lost 500 points in a day. Mm-hmm. And so everybody on the business desk at Newsday was sort of panicking, like, what do we do? How do we cover this? And so one of the big things is, well, how does this affect people's jobs? What do they think? How do they do? So I was, you know, the lead writer on this, and so I'm looking at, you know, my inbox, and I've noticed that there have been a number of emails from a guy named Scott Possessor, and he's a job expert, and I'm looking at his stuff, and I notice this is a guy who really speaks plainly. He knows what people what's on people's mind, what they're thinking about. I'm going to call him. So I do. I call him, and I think Scott was a little bit shocked because, it's like, okay, I'm ready now. But, it was an unusual sort of thing. And, I think that I continue to call him in various times. And, you get in sync with people. So I like the way this guy thinks. And so, we've been friends since that time.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
And what I'm just going to finish the story.
Yeah.
So what happened was, is I said something to you that I regretted. I didn't like the usage of the word precipitously. You said, well, what should people do? And I said, they should move precipitously. And I had never in my life up until that point used the word precipitously. And I said to myself, I just hope he doesn't use that. So sure enough, I get up the next day, Ronnie, and in giant print, move precipitously, says Scott Possessor, president of Career Planning Consultants. And it was in such big print, nobody could have missed it. And that's when I called you up and I started giving you a hard time. I said, Ron, you used two damn words. We're on the phone for 30 minutes, you used two words. And then that's when we got into our Yankee conversation.
Right.
And we wound up going to a Yankee game. And then the next thing you know, I was at your wedding, and then the rest is history. So,
right.
But
Scott, when people saw that word, they said, hey, this guy's a scholar.
It's probably true. It's probably true. And maybe that's why I did use the word. But anyway, I'm sorry that I did, but I'm glad that we met and that we've been friends all these years, Ronnie. It's probably getting close to, 40 years.
Yeah. Some good things last a long time.
And we've aged together. So we're definitely aging together. And I think this is a great topic, Ron, because really all of us are dealing with it. I know Kenny's in his 20s, but Kenny just told me before the show started that one of his biggest fears is aging, and how he's going to deal with it. And now that I'm up in, into the 50s and 60s and so on, I'm already there. And I started being there some while ago, and now I'm dealing with the aches and pains. I'm dealing with the stress of retirement, and do I have enough money, and what am I going to do with myself, and so on. So there's still a tremendous amount of people out there that don't have a good strategy, Ronnie. They're aging and they're really not doing anything about it.
Right. Yeah. So, that's when I talk about successful aging, I think sometimes it seems like an oxymoron to people, like, well, how do you do that? But the reality is this, Scott, and the tagline for my show, as is, make the second half of life even better than the first. Mm-hmm. And, I really do mean that. I think people know that I'm passionate about that. And what I mean really is this, there's no getting around aging, and certainly, there are issues about physical aging in terms of aches and pains, and you're not in your 20s when you're in your 50s or 60s, certainly not when you're 80s. But the fact of the matter is that, as you started to say earlier, you age in your 20s. Really, as soon as you're born, you're aging.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a reality of life, and the question is, how do you look at it? And the one thing is that I'd like to change the paradigm, which I know is sort of a buzzword these days, but the paradigm of how we think about aging and ageism in this country. So we sort of think about, as we, in our 20s and our 30s and 40s, we sort of, our life is like a climbing up a mountain, and then all of a sudden we get to the top, I don't know whether it's our 40s or 50s, and then from then that point on, it's a decline, mm-hmm. descent.
Yeah.
And my feeling is, no, it's not. It's just that you're on the top of one mountain, and you may go down a little bit, and you climb another peak, mm-hmm. and then another peak. And there are ways to be successful and to be, prosperous and there are ways to be fulfilled and productive all the way through life if you can make some adjustments, you know, and be realistic and do some planning. Now, I know that sometimes, you know that old phrase, you know, man plans, God laughs. Mm-hmm. So
right.
I fully recognize that you have to constantly rework your plan. But the point is that you can have a productive life all the way through if you think about it in different chapters and you plan for different chapters.
Well, I mean, we have the long-term health care insurance. You know, I worry about housing, Ronnie. I don't think I could afford to live on Long Island if I didn't have a relatively high-paying job. Mm-hmm. I don't have the financial security that I wish I had. You know, I certainly know what I should have done, but did not do it. I was a business owner and got stuck between a couple of recessions. But, you know, then there's the elder care and the estate planning. So wrap it up for us. I mean, put it all together in a bow. I mean, what should people be looking for and how should they be dealing with this?
Well, I mean, you started to explain some of it. So there are a number of different elements, you know, that should be considered in tandem. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of there's kind of a, you know, so you mentioned that I'm involved in a group called the National Aging in Place Council, the Long Island chapter of it. And certainly, you know, most people want to age in place. Every survey says, you know, 75 to 80% of people would like to age in place in their own home. Or more specifically, they want to age in place where they want to age in place, mm-hmm. you know, whatever that home is.
Right.
But in order to do that, you need to think about a number of things. So you need to think about your physical environment. You need to think about your work and career. You need to think about your health care. You need to have a, you know, financial security, you know, plan. You need to have a plan for, you know, your estate that goes to the end of that. And then you need to also think about your caregiving needs, because the reality is that two-thirds of people over age 65 need some sort of, you know, caregiving at some point later in life. So you need to have these, you know, so I basically have put together a chart, you know, you could do it it's not really an Excel spreadsheet. I remember years ago I was working on a fundraising campaign, and we had a chart called a PERT chart, which is, you know, a program evaluation and review technique. And that basically, what it is you have several different components that are working together in parallel, and you look at them, you know, so at the age of 25, you have certain healthcare concerns, you have certain financial concerns, and you look at the different issues at that point in age and make sure that they're sort of lined up in terms of what you should be doing at that time, but then what's coming ahead. So, you know, especially as you mentioned before, housing. So this is a huge issue on Long Island. And that's, as you said, it's wrapped up in partly in your job. Can you afford the kind of housing you want? If you're going to retire, but you want to stay here, well, okay, then maybe you can't retire fully. You have to think about a phased retirement, mm-hmm. if you want to support the kind of housing you want. Or then if it's still not working, or if you're really not using the house and it's costing you a lot of money to maintain it, maybe you want to stay on Long Island, but you want to downsize.
So Ronnie, is confused by kid chasing. We don't want to lose our kids.
Right.
So if your kid moves to Chicago, what are you supposed to do? You know, you maybe can't afford to live in Chicago any better than you can in New York, but you don't want to be away from your kids. And I think that this is one of the biggest magnets and pulls on older people that have children. You know, we just don't want to separate from our kids.
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And so, you know, every family is different. So you have to have a heart-to-heart talk with your spouse and your kids and yourself in terms of, how do you feel about family? How important is it to be with family and to be close to family? Some people, you know, I mean, the game has changed a little bit with Zoom, you know, and technology. So that has helped make people, you know, closer and find ways to be close. For example, you know, last year we had, it was my aunt's, it was her 99th birthday. And, of course, especially because of the pandemic, we didn't get together, obviously. But or one of her daughters arranged a Zoom call. So we had 30 people on this call from, you know, Hawaii to Scotland to Maryland to Long Island to Chicago to South Carolina. So it was kind of amazing, because if you had a physical get-together, most of us couldn't attend. But this enables us to be close in ways that, you know, the virtual platforms have given us, you know, some options we didn't have before. Now, having said that, you're still right, you know, so, and it's still, it is a conundrum you've got to really think about. So you do see cases where, your parents moved to Florida, right, and you're here, mm-hmm. so you can visit them, but then as you get later, you know, later on in life, you know, the usual paradigm is, you know, well, how do you take care of your older parents? Well, you know, you can't fly down every weekend or something. So there is a phenomenon of a boomerang phenomenon where sometimes, you know, parents move to where their kids are, you know. So people are moving back from Florida to Long Island if you want to be near family. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, if your kids move to Chicago, as you said, or move to, you know, North Carolina or wherever, you know, it's tricky because, you say, well, I want to move there to be closer to my family. Well, that's assuming that your, you know, daughter or her husband don't get a job in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Yeah. You could find yourself, you know, chasing them across the country, because that's the moving American phenomenon. You know, it's a wonderful thing we have as Americans with this tremendous mobility, but it has caused a real issue in terms of how do we age. You're absolutely right.
I think that's what I'm saying. It's upsetting the flow of what people like you could advise others to do, because under no circumstances am I going to get too far away from my son. And then, Ronnie, we also have the issue of people having their kids live in their houses.
Right.
So I just had dinner with a couple of guys from Oneonta, my college that I went to 48 years ago, and it was fun. It was fun to do that. And I found out that one of them, both of his kids are on the autism spectrum, and he's got issues with them, and they live in the house, and that upsets his career plan, his retirement plan, everything that he was planning to do. So there are a lot of complications. If it was just a simple fluid thing that everybody knew how to do, it'd be one thing. But that's why people like you need to give us advice.
Right. Well, I think that, you know, the first piece really is that you need to have what I call frequent family conversations, which really means heart-to-heart talk with your family about what's going on, what do you need, what are you looking for, what do they need, certain things, and being prepared for a kind of change in our society we haven't seen in a while. You know, a lot of us came out of the relatively calm 50s through most of the 60s and even the 70s, where things are different. They really are different now in terms of, you know, families are different. You know, there are lots of more blended families. So you really need to sit down every year and go through these various components of life and figure out what's important to you and what can you do about it and what adjustments can you make, because they're going to have to be adjustments. And the important thing is really, don't try to overplan, but don't underplan either, because, you know, my analogy is that, you know, life throws a lot of curves at you, and you're not driving a straight highway, and you're driving through all sorts of curves. And when you get to a curve, you need to be able to slow down and see where you're going and see what options you have. Otherwise, you're going to run off the road. Mm-hmm. And so you need to build in some time in your life to really do some thinking about what's next. Because, unfortunately, you know, we are a society that responds to crises. That's just the way we do. We're just in time this, you know. We don't plan, but then we said, all right, how do we respond to this crisis? And unfortunately, a lot of times we're really good at it. So we keep that pattern. Mm. But a lot of times it's expensive. The more you go into issues of crisis with your family or your job without thinking ahead about, you know, contingencies, the fewer options you have, you know. So the first thing is, you know, don't succumb to what I call PDD, planning deficit disorder. Mm. You know, you've got to really think about, take some time to really plan ahead and plan for contingencies and emergencies and things that can't possibly see.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, Ron, where do people hear your podcast real fast, just before the news break?
Sure. So if you go, it's an internet radio network. It's called Voice America. So you don't. It's not on the radio dial. You log on to voiceamerica.com, click on that, and then you'll go to the show page, the front page, and then just do search 45 forward, and then you'll click on my show.
Okay.
And
all right, good. So we got a news break coming up. But stay with us. Put a bookmark right here. We have Ron Rowell with us, an expert on the subject of aging, a Yale University grad, which I like to say as often as I can. And Ron is a fantastic guy with super knowledge about this subject and came up with a navigator he'll talk to us about in the second segment. We're also going to dive deeper into the workforce and see how we should be planning for retirement and so on. If you have an idea for Radio Jobline, you can write to me, scottp118@gmail.com, or you can write to Kenny.
Kenny.radiojobline@gmail.com.
And we will be happy to have your subject on the program or you on the show. Stay with us. We got news coming up. More with Ron Rowell in a second.
And now, welcome back to Radio Jobline with your host, Scott Possessor, right here on LI News Radio.
And welcome back to Radio Jobline, everybody, with your host, Scott Possessor. I am his co-host, Ken Connolly. Always great to be back with Scott. We are here for you guys every Saturday from 2 to 3 and Wednesdays from 8 to 9. We give you advice on how to get a job, interview tips, talk about your career, getting a raise, workplace issues, among many other things. And one thing in particular is aging and how that affects you in the workplace. And we have Ron Rowell on today to talk about that very subject with us. As Scott mentioned at the end of the break, a Yale graduate, to put it out there again. He had 20 years as a writer and editor at Newsday, covering business, workplace issues, real estate, and politics, as well as founding Act 2, which was the paper's weekly section for readers aged 50 plus. We have him on in a second for the second half, but before we get there, got to do a little shout out to BizShout. Socially Promote Yourself or Your Business is a next generation platform for promoting and advertising that offers people and brands a new business casual culture. This collaboration will feature maximizing messages with the freedom of reach to stretch conversations, careers, and prosperity through various shouts. For their first service, they design a creative resume portfolio to help users potentially land their dream job 5 times greater. This is achieved by showcasing elevator pitches to introduce candidates, job-related demonstration videos, and blogging insights to prove their value further. Additionally, candidates can be discovered by recruiters and hiring managers in a targeted database. Joining BizShout and designing a creative resume are free at BizShout.com, spelt with 2 Z's. Build one today to land your dream job.
All right, and now back to Mr. Rowell. Ronald, have you ever heard of BizShout?
I did now.
it's definitely worth checking out. BizShout, right? Kenny? BizZ.
Yes.
You might enjoy it. I think everyone that's looked at it seems to like it. So it's growing. And the reason we support this show is not only do we love its owner, Charlie Lee, but he's going to one day, when he gets rich and he sells this thing for $25 million or $100 million, we're going to get a few bucks. Kenny and I, he's going to buy us a couple of big whoppers, I think. But anyway, let's go back to the subject. Ronnie, let's take a deeper dive into the job, you know, the whole planning, pre-retirement planning, how to work, when to stop working. Give us what you know about that.
Well, you know, I think the pandemic, you know, even as we come out of it, has shed some interesting light on this whole area. You know, I'm not sure how much it's changed things. It's shifted the dial somewhat on things, but it's given us some sense about how to think about this. So I think that the first thing is that it's from the worker's perspective, it's emphasized the fact that a couple things. Better, first of all, it's given us some real time to reflect on what are we doing, you know, and how do we want to spend our lives, and how do we spend our lives at work. I think it's basically, you know, changed people's ideas in terms of wait a minute, it was initially, you know, this was kind of a lonely enterprise. It was difficult to do this at home. A lot of people are also taking care of their kids and homeschooling and so forth. But it's given some sense that, wait a minute, maybe some of this I can take with me going forward. Maybe I don't want to, you know, to go to an office every day. Maybe I want to stay home for 2 days a week, and sometimes I might be able to get more things done. Mm-hmm. I think, too, it's also given time for reflection in terms of, you know, what do I want to do? You know, I think that, you know, for my show, you know, what I've discovered is that a lot of people do get sort of to midlife and they're like, okay, well, wait a minute, this is a chapter. I don't need to do this until, you know, 60. Maybe I do want to make a shift at 45 or 50 and take on another chapter that may be related, but it's something different. I think, you know, people now are really thinking much more, you know, seriously about successive careers for fulfillment, you know, and for growth. Because, you know, unfortunately, the pandemic taught us a very sobering lesson, which is things can be over in the snap of your fingers. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think was really upsetting to people, realizing. So they weren't planning for things, you know, and some of these things, look, you know, the tragedy of life happened. You can get caught in an accident and so forth. So it's not that this is something new. But I think it's given some renewed focus on how to think about your jobs. And also from the employer's perspective, I think they've discovered, holy smoke, wait a minute. Maybe we don't need to have a big office. Maybe we could have half the space because a lot of our, you know, workers work great remotely. You know, and right now, a lot of employers, are, as you know, Scott, are thinking like, how do we bring people back? Do we bring everybody back? You know, if you want to bring everybody back, not everybody wants to come back. So I think it's given them, you know, a new idea about how to do work. And, you know, when I was starting out covering the workplace in the 80s, you know, things like video conferencing was like, ooh, that's a big deal. Of course, now Zoom has basically taken this to a really staff level. Anybody could do this, and so it opens up a lot of different options for different kinds of work opportunities. And I think, you know, so people are starting to see. Again, I think, you know, as I look at this from a sort of a chapter by chapter perspective, you know, if you're going. You know, when Social Security was established, you know, 65, the life expectancy was like 68. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was a very different time. Now, you know, people are, you know, actively working, you know, into their 70s and 80s sometimes. So that, you know, you have to think about, you know, but you may not want to work the same way. You may not want to commute to an office. You could do a lot of things remotely from home.
Yeah.
You may want to work 2 or 3 days a week.
So thinking just about myself, I think ideally for me, if I did retire, Ron, I would still work. Because, first of all, I'm just not one of these people that can sit around the house and do nothing all day. I've got to do something. And people say, well, you could travel. And I say, I'm not such a great traveler. I don't like to be on airplanes. I like to sleep in my own bed, you know, so I'm not even really a traveler. I love dogs. As you know, I just got myself a new dog. I'm getting a second dog in August, which is, I know, it's crazy. But the bottom line is that's the way I see my life. You know, really simple, working from home, maybe doing a radio show, maybe doing a podcast, maybe doing some writing, you know, for some newspapers or whatever, trying to keep my connections here on Long Island. But that's how I see myself, with one final chapter that's going to produce just enough revenue. So combined with Social Security and what my investments will throw off, I'll be able to comfortably live, not here, not on Long Island, but somewhere else in the country where rents are far more affordable.
Right. But I think that, so there are two important components to that, Scott. First of all, the one is the emotional and inner part of you, which is, you know, I say, you know, you retire, you expire. You know,
right.
if you're not doing anything in life, you know, we know that we're motivated by sort of what's your purpose in life? Why are you getting up every morning? What motivates you to do things? And there are actually just, you know, a number of studies that show, without question that if you work longer, you literally add years to your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So I remember reading one article where the headline was, "Want to live a longer life? Keep working."
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that work is a critical component. Of course, how you define that work and what kind of work that is, you know, is up to you. But I think that it's important to think about, you know, how to have these successive jobs or even successive careers. I mean, you could turn a hobby into a part-time profession. I mean, you could do just what you said, which is you can expand your expertise into different areas, you know, whether it's writing a column, writing a book, starting another radio show. Now the whole area of podcasts has opened up, you know, where you can do a lot of different things. But I think it is important to think about this and to really have an active mind. One of the things you mentioned, I do a lot of educational workshops for the Alzheimer's Association. And so one of the workshops I do is on, it's called Healthy Living for Your Brain and Body. And again, there are studies that show that what's important to staying, you know, to lowering the risk of cognitive decline as you get older.
Mm.
You know, there's exercise, it's important, nutrition, social engagement, and, you know, cognitive stimulation. So, you're keeping active. You know, you could do it with hobbies, but often some form of work, you know, where you're learning something still, you're still engaged, you're still thinking, learning new things, that in fact will keep you healthier longer. It's not just, you know, mentally, it actually improves your physical health. And there are studies that are actually showing this.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of a few examples of people that I know in my life that have retired and aren't doing as well as I would have thought, and people that are still working and being cranky about it, but they're doing a lot better. So I definitely think there's truth to this axiom that if you keep working, you'll stay healthier longer. So that's a fact. But Ronnie, a lot of people don't really know what they want to do. How do you figure out how to spend those final years in what kind of capacity? Do you just pivot off what you've always done? What's the advice there?
Well, I think that, you know, it's very individual in terms of some people want to expand on what they've been doing. Some people want to do something entirely new. As you know, and a lot of times in career planning, you have a basic plan, but then a lot of, you know, your progress is, I don't want to say accidental, but it is kind of. You find something, you meet somebody, and all of a sudden you shift direction and say, well, wait a minute, I really like that. I think that, you know, I remember years ago sitting down when I was covering, the workplace at Newsday and sitting with a career planning course, and it was a week course. And a lot of it is really taking the time to sit down and look at your life and say, and to actually categorize your experiences of what you've done. And it can be at work, and it can be in your personal life, it can be your recreational life, and to start looking at what it is that you did, not what you thought about, but what is it you did, and what things did you really enjoy? Where did you find a sense of purpose? And I think you start looking at, you know, a pattern of your life, like, well, wait a minute, you know. So for me personally, you know, I've always enjoyed, writing and editing and helping people with advice, especially in aging issues, which is something, again, that I kind of, you know, I veered into through covering business,
mm-hmm.
and covering workplace issues. So I wasn't looking for that, but, you know, I found and said, well, this really motivates me. I want to help people, you know, lead a better life. And I think that, so if you look for something that fulfills you, not necessarily makes you happy, because I don't really know what that term means, mm. but you feel a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. So a lot of people take what they know, but they apply it in volunteer jobs, you know, or they apply it in engaging, there's a, you know, I had them on my show called Encore.org.
Mm-hmm.
which is about people having encore careers, but it's not simply careers for themselves. It's basically having mentors and relationships with younger generations. So that, you know, that's one way to stay young and engaged besides having grandchildren.
Yeah. You know? So, Ron, take 1 minute and tell people about the Navigator.
Sure. So I've been working on this guide for a while, and it's been, you know, I've been revising it because of COVID, because a lot of the protocol has changed. But yes, so it's an idea. It's called a Caregiving Navigator. And the first version of it, I'm doing it for Long Islanders because I feel that, you know, this sort of guide is important to be localized for resources for people to the extent possible. But what it is, it's basically a two-generation guide. It's dealing with the reality that as we get older, first we see our parents generally getting older, and we want to make sure that they're safe and secure over the course of their life. And it takes my basic model and applies it to caregiving. So, you know, when you're younger and your parents are younger, you know, the issue is planning. How can you get together as a family and say, well, what are the very basic components? Financial, healthcare, long-term care, housing, and so forth. And basically getting people to communicate as to what they want to do and how they want to do it. And then there's the second phase of aging in place. What do you need? What are the concerns when you're aging in place? How do you make sure your parents are safe? One of the biggest issues is people age in place, but they don't realize that as they get a little bit physically infirm, the biggest hazard is falling. Hmm. So that's the biggest hazard in aging in place, where you're not focused on all the, you know, the things you need to do to make your, keep your house safe.
What about the long-term care insurance, Ron? Do you endorse that?
Well, I do. I mean, I think that, but I guess I look at it more broadly as long-term care planning and coverage. So long-term care insurance is something that people should be thinking about in their late 40s and early 50s, because that's when the premiums are affordable.
Mm-hmm.
The later you get, the more unaffordable it gets. It's a tricky thing, Scott, and unfortunately with a lot of things in our society, it's if you don't have any money, you can't afford it, so you go the Medicaid route, you know. Mm-hmm. And if you're really wealthy, doesn't really matter. So, but in the middle, that's where people need to sort of think about, well, what do I do? What, you know? And so, I think in general, it's a good thing to explore for a lot of people. I think there's some options that are opening up now that weren't there before. So, in other words, there are a lot of hybrid policies. People say, well, all right, I buy long-term care insurance, the premiums are expensive, and maybe I'll never use it. So why do that? So now you can basically get them as riders on life insurance policies.
Mm-hmm.
So that basically the benefits can be applied toward long-term care insurance or eventually life insurance. So there's a feeling that it's a more usable, flexible policy. I think people also are realizing there was a while ago, you know, several years ago, when the industry was having some real problems because they were selling these policies and not realizing people were going to use them for a long time. So they couldn't really sustain these policies. But
I
now
have
a lot
seen,
of it's straightened out.
I have seen that Navigator, Ron. You gave me an advanced look at it, and I read the whole thing cover to cover. I thought it was fascinating and great stuff and something everybody here on Long Island needs. If people want to get on some kind of a list to get that Navigator from you, Ron, is there some place they should go or a website they can visit?
Well, right now I'm developing a website for the Navigator specifically. But if they want to contact me and get on a list, absolutely. It's real simple. Just ron.roel, R-O-E-L, at gmail.com. So I'm putting together, you know, a pre-publication list now because it's probably going to come out sometime this summer. It'll be available. And what I'm going to do is basically have it – I think people – will like it in print, and it's going to be in a loose leaf format so that people can actually make copies of. I have a lot of checklists, a lot of questionnaires, a lot of resource lists that they can make copies of for their family. But then also on the website, I'm going to be constantly updating things because that's what you need something these days that keeps things up to date. That's what I've discovered is that a lot of these guides get put in print, and it's important to have some things in print. Because I think people still, you know, look at it, and it's it's different when they look at it in front of them, but you need to be able to go to and get yearly updates on things. So that's my plan, is to keep people current on these issues.
All right. And what about
change?
What about the website now, your current Rowell Resources website?
Right. So there, that's a site that I'm developing. I sort of changed the model of it over the last year. So you can go on the website and you can see various articles from me and from other people on the site. But this is going to be something where they are going to be able to eventually buy it on the site. But at this point, it's a useful site. I think you'll find a lot of the articles interesting. This RowellResources.com. That's the Navigator is not yet available on that site, but it will be within a couple of months.
It just sounds like such a fabulous resource, Ron. I can't think of anybody that wouldn't need it, right? So if you think about it, either you're old or you know someone that's old,
right?
Right? I mean, there's pretty much nothing in between. I mean, there aren't even any young people out there that don't have parents, don't have grandparents. I mean, it just about fits every situation. I think it's going to be huge for you, Ronnie. And I just want to tell people where they can go to sign up and get it one more time.
Sure. So just the simplest thing is to email me, Scott, ron.roel, R-O-E-L, @gmail.com, and say, put me on the list to get the Navigator as soon as it's published. And I will within the next month or so, be letting people know what the publication date is.
And what time is 45 Forward on again?
45 Forward is on Monday afternoons at 3 o'clock. Just go on to voiceamerica.com and click on search for 45 Forward, and you can see the show. But also, once the show is recorded on Mondays, by Tuesday, it's available as a podcast.
Wonderful.
So you can go on the site and on my 45 Forward page, and you listen to it there. Or it's also on places like iTunes, Spotify, as they say, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, fantastic. Ronnie, thank you so much for being with us. Great job. We're going to do this again because aging is a huge topic. Kenny, what do we have coming up next week?
Matt Santorpia from Culinart.
With jobs.
Yes.
It's going to be a jobs telethon. Have a great week, everybody. Happy hunting.